let me start the recording. And let me, we're experimenting with a new recording device too. Okay, great. So I want to welcome everybody on the call. We've got a bunch of people on the call. Let's see, I want to welcome the new power agents that are on the call. And this is a live call, and it is being recorded. So if you need to walk away from the call or do something, don't use your hold button because we'll hear the music that your company might have if you're calling from the office. Also, these calls are very sensitive, so any noise in the background is accentuated in a really huge way. So just try and be in a quiet space. If you decide that you want to do something that has noise in the background, talk to somebody on the other end. If you hit star 6 on your keypad, you can mute yourself. Don't do it now because it sounds really good, and I like to hear people's breathing and voices. So, but if it gets too loud, you'll hit star 6, and that'll mute you. Now, the purpose and reminder of the call is what we're going to do is three things. Number one is I'm going to go over the magazine that's digital, and it's on the Power Program website. Go through those pages so I can share with you why I put those pages together, what I think you need to do, how you can use them. The second thing is then open the call to questions, you know, find out, you know, who needs some one-on-one coaching on something. Usually when you have an issue and I help you through it, somebody else on the phone has a similar issue. So everybody will get value from your adversity, your troubles, and your suicidal tendencies. And then the last thing I want to do is actually give you a plan as to what I think you need to be focusing on the next 30 days. Now, I did something a little bit different this month. When you go to the Power Program website, and let me just say something, the Power Program website, you need to, anything that I talk about, you need to have your username and password, you need to be logged in order to see what I'm telling you. If you haven't been on the calls for a while or on the site and you lost your username and password, you can call my office after the call and they can give it to you. And so in the meantime, if you're not able to get into the site or you're on the road and you can't get to a computer, just listen to what I'm saying. Take notes if you're not driving and go back to whatever you write down, what I say. Like when I'm talking about a page, just write the page number down, make some notes, and go to it later. So what I did different this month, and I want to just jump to this right quick because it is different, I don't want to forget it, is after you log in on the home page, you're going to see the monthly, the recording that we're doing now, yet it's not posted yet. You see May's posting there. But then you're going to see the June Power Agent magazine, and then you're going to see June's Power Slides. Now, the slides, when you click on them, don't do it yet, but those are PowerPoint slides. And somebody said to me, Darryl, when I click on some of the things on the site, they don't open up. Some things do, some things don't. How that works is that when you click on a file, if it's downloading a really big file to your computer, it may take a long time, so be patient. It's not that it's not working. It's just taking a while for all of the size of the file to get loaded to your computer so you can see it. So just be patient. But the thing that's different this month is under the Power Slides, there's an article from NAR. I'm going to click on it now because it was so awesome, and it's online. And I wanted you to see it. And you see, I just clicked on it, and the thing's not moving, and so we're just going to wait until it does that. But this article has some really great stuff to show a homeowner about what's happening in the market, what's happening with prices. And this article actually is a blog, but on this, it actually has some graphs. So I was going to copy the graphs and give it to you in the site, but I thought, let me just give you the actual article so you can use what you want to use from it. Now, when you go to that site, whether you're there now or if you go to it later, it says lower inventory helps push prices up. Actually, I'm sorry, this is not an article for sellers. This is actually an article to use with buyers. A lot of what I gave you this month is really focused towards buyers, and the reason why is because we're going into that time of year where we're going to see more buyers come out. Along with, we're going to see more lookers. You know, actually, science has proven that that there's more conceptions of babies during the summer months than they are in some other months. unless you're in the Northeast where it's cold in the winter, they find. And what's really interesting, that chemically speaking, that when people are out in the sun and they smell the trees and they smell nature, it creates a kind of a amorous feeling in the air, and that's why that happens. Now, I think that's also true with buyers. I think when the summer comes and the nice weather, the birds are chirping, the grass is greener, the trees are greener and taller. I think all of that, what we see happen is that there's more of an influx of buyers than any other time during the year. Now, you know, and I've said this before, that any buyer that comes out in the winter months or during the holidays, Hanukkah or Christmas or whatever, they're definitely more serious. So we have fewer buyers, but more serious buyers. In the summer months, we can really waste our time working with not quality people. So I gave you some things this month in the magazine that really help you in working with buyers to get them off the fence and to write contracts. So here's some things that I did for you. Going back to this article from NAR, there's several graphs, and I'm not going to go through with you now, but there's several graphs that actually show, because there's less inventory, we're seeing actually more sales, and in some cases we're seeing some increase in pricing. So this whole article and graphs is showing that this is really the time to buy, because if you wait any longer, you're going to have even fewer inventory to look at. You may be paying higher in price. So this is, you know, this is maybe we've hit bottom. So it's a really great article with graphs, and I suggest that you print these out and use whatever you like on a listing, on an appointment with a buyer. That's the other thing that we're going to talk about today after I go through the magazine is, I know some agents, and they're actually students of mine, that are not listening to me, and they're paying the price. And what I mean by they're not listening to me is that they're having buyers dictate where the agent's going to show them and when they're going to show them. So in a sense, all the agent is doing is being a chauffeur. Now, these are a couple agents that that I actually have a close relationship with, and because there's a friendship there, I've chosen to be their friend and not their trainer, meaning that because if I were their trainer, I would get really pissed off that they're not listening to me, because I know it doesn't work what they're doing. So I've decided to just be their friend and let them do what they do. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're having buyers dictate where you should be going, what houses to show, and the whole nine yards, then you're working the buyer, not the house, and you're going to have more frustration. One of the little ditties that I love is less stress, income higher, work the house, not the buyer. What you need to do is find the best properties in the marketplace at the time and just show those houses till you sell them. Instead of you taking buyers out, showing house after house after house, you find the best house and show it to as many buyers as you can until you sell it. So that is one of the best business models. We're going to talk a little bit more about an appointment with buyers. What I'm going to do is there is a little bit of static in the background. I don't know who that might be. If you happen to know who you are, actually, here, let me just do this. Hang on. I am going to mute everybody. So what I've just done is I've just muted everybody, and if you want to ask me a question while I'm talking, then hit *6, and that will unmute you. So right now everybody's muted, and that way it'll just sound better. So, but I want you to interrupt me by hitting *6 so you can talk to me. All right, now, so that's it as far as the NAR article. So let me go back. Let me go through the magazine. Now, the magazine this month, we weren't able to do the digital magazine. We have something better for you, actually, is on the Power Program website, we don't have the pretty graph that's there. And some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, but because you haven't seen it before. But the bottom line is, if you were to click on the magazine this month, what you'll actually will see is that you will see that it's actually a PDF. I'm sorry, just somebody sent me a funny text that's actually on the call. So the person that I was talking about a moment ago just sent me the finger. Okay, great. So anyway, if you open up the magazine, the June magazine is, if you click on that, it's a PDF. And what I want to do is go through with you the actual pages, starting on page 21. Now, on page 21, there is, and it goes, I'm sorry, it's not 21. What is it? Is it 21? Yes, it is 21. 21, I just happen to see a 35 there, and there's a typo, but it's page 21, 22, 23. Now, let me just continue. Hang on, gang. Bop, 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 bop. Page 31. 31 ends it. And what this is, it's a report for home buyers, okay? And one of the things that I suggest that you do, this report says how to get pre-approved for a loan before you buy. How to get pre-approved for a loan before you buy. Now, let me just tell you something. There's something interesting about first-time buyers. First-time buyers don't know what they don't know. You know, I think for a lot of us on this call who've been doing real estate for a while, we sometimes forget that the most basic of basic things that we think that everybody in the world would know, we forget that the buyer, especially that first-time buyer, doesn't know it. And so if you were to run an article or an ad saying that, hey, I have a report on how to get pre-approved for a loan before you buy, which is basically a pre-commitment letter, right? There's buyers, plenty of buyers out there that would say, wow, you mean I can get pre-approved before I buy? Like, they don't know that that's, like, we all take that for granted. But for a buyer that hasn't bought a home before to run an ad and say, hey, call me now and find out, we have a program that will get you pre-approved before you buy. Simply call my office. Here's my cell number. We'll explain the program, blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you, gang, you're going to get people who are going to call you on that. It's pretty amazing. My assistant, Sean, he just recently purchased a house, and he would be coming to me with questions about, you know, owning a home and some of the challenges in the process of him buying this house. And it was just really interesting to me, some of the questions he was asking me. Well, I almost forget. I'd be like, wow, to me that's just such an obvious thing. But that's only because I've been in real estate just like you've been so long. We forget that buyers, they don't know what they don't know. So one of the analogies that I use in my seminars is, you know, when you're learning how to drive a car, one of the things that we have is called a blind spot. Now, if there was a car in the blind spot and you were not taught about blind spot, would you know that there was a car there? And the answer, of course, is no. And you wouldn't even know that you didn't know that there was a car in that blind spot. Until somebody teaches you the distinction called blind spot, you don't even think to look there. Well, that's exactly how it is for a buyer, that there's things about buying a house, first-time buyer, there's things about buying a house like the car in the blind spot that the buyer doesn't know, and the buyer doesn't even know that they don't know it, so they don't even know to ask about it. So anyway, don't take buyers for granted that they know anything. This article is a really great – now, here's what I suggest you do. It's not an article. It's a report, how to get pre-approved. It goes through, and I want you to go through this. It's really a very well-written report. Now, what you need to do, and the advantage this month, because you have the PDF file, you can actually take this file and you can easily copy and paste or transfer it into Microsoft Word or any word processor and then take that and create a better report where you can customize it with your company logo, your photo. You can actually bind it. You can bring it to Office Max and print out, you know, with a GBC binding and have these special reports, and you can advertise this special report. I highly recommend you do this. It's a great report, and it's going to make your phone ring with buyers. Now, there's something else there that I have for you. Hang on. On page 32 is a letter that I came across. So here's the whole point of what this is. Have you worked? Let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever – I'm going to unmute everybody because I want to hear your response in this. Hang on a second. Let me just go to that. Everybody's going to be unmuted now. Let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever had – and I can hear you now. Have you ever had a deal that you were putting together where you were the listing agent and the selling agent who was working with the buyers didn't have control of the buyer – and the financing, in other words, the deal fell apart because the financing wasn't handled properly because the buyer's agent didn't handle it properly. Has this ever happened to any of you, yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now, so here's one of the things not all of you are going to do, but here's a suggestion. one of the things you may do when you're on the listing side of things that you can actually make as part of the negotiation, whether you make it as part of the listing up front, whether you do it when you finally get an offer, but that you insist that the buyer's agent actually goes to, or the buyer, the buyer actually goes to your loan officer that you have a relationship with to get pre-approved and a commitment. Now, let me explain something to you on this, okay? When I was an agent, here's what we did. In my contracts, we actually added, back in the day when these were easy to get, but it's the same concept. We would put in the contract that this contract is subject to a buyer getting a no income, no asset, no verification loan commitment. Now, we know today to get a no income, no asset, no verification mortgage is like, I don't even think they have those anymore. And obviously those types of mortgages for you to get a no income, no asset, no verification, back in the day when I was an agent, those loans were actually a higher interest rate. You may have to even pay points. They were not the best loan, but if you fogged the mirror, you could get the loan. Now listen to me. That's what it said in the contract. It was subject to the buyers getting that. It didn't mean that the buyers couldn't go for any other type of loan. They could have gone for a VA, FHA. They could have gone for a full asset, full income check. It doesn't matter. They could go do that. They'd get any loan they wanted. But if they went for another loan other than what I said in the contract and it didn't go through, meaning they didn't get the mortgage commitment and fell through, then they were still liable for the house. So you may want to consider putting in there that, hey, listen, you can work with any bank you want, but this agreement is subject to you working with my guy first. If you work with my guy and you decide to go somewhere else, that's fine. You get the loan. That's fine. If you don't, that's not fine. So it's just a suggestion, gang. Let's see. Let me go to the next thing. All right, now, page 34.
Carol, I have a question. I'm sorry. So you
don't. Yeah, no, don't apologize. This is what the call is for. Go ahead. What's your question?
Include in the listing, subject to buyer getting pre-approval and commitment through blah, blah, blah.
Right. Now, what that means is, once again, it's subject to. It doesn't mean that they can't go anywhere else. It just means that if they go somewhere else and they don't get the loan, they're still liable for the deal.
Subject to. Okay.
Yes.
Now, there's another clause I see a lot on listings. I think it's something about no commission deemed until title class. So it goes to pass or something like that. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's
yeah,
like
they
no.
Do. So, yeah. What some listing agents will do, and the homeowner may assist, or they insist on it, or if they have an attorney who insists when they list with an agent that the commission is not due or received until title passes. Now,
right.
The reason why that's put in there, and a lot of agents don't know this, so I'll give you a little, whoever's on the call, you're going to get a little inside information. That you and I, we're in a service industry. And in a service industry, what that means is that you've earned your fee once the service has been provided. Okay. Now, our obligation as a licensed real estate agent is to, when you're on the seller, when you're charging the seller for a commission, is we've earned our commission when we brought a buyer to the seller who's ready, willing, and able to purchase the home. And that's very telling, that definition. When we bring a buyer to a seller who's ready, they're willing, and they're able to buy, we've now earned our fee. Technically, we earn our fee at contract, not at closing. Technically, we could ask to get paid once something goes into contract. Technically, we don't have to do any of the other work that we do after contract and still get paid. So some savvy sellers who have savvy attorneys is why they would actually insist that put in the listing agreement that the commission is not earned until title passes, because without that, technically we earn our commission a lot sooner. Now, I actually used to use that on a listing appointment. When a homeowner would say to me that, you know what, when I say to a homeowner, I'd like to get a six-month listing, and if a homeowner said to me they wanted to do 3 months, in the state of New York, gang, because I know we have people all over the world on this call, is that in New York, it usually takes, when I was an agent, 2 to 3 months to close a transaction after it went into contract. So when I would ask a homeowner for a six-month listing, one of the techniques I use when they say, well, Darryl, we really don't want to do 6 months, we want to do 3 months. I would say to them, well, I appreciate that. I think that, you know, we'll probably get the house in contract and sold within 3 months. But the reason why I ask for 6 months is two reasons. Number one, sometimes things happen, and I like to just have the buffer. But the main thing is that legally, I earn my fee once I bring you the buyer who's ready, willing, and able, and I would show that in the license law. And then I'd say, but I defer my commission until closing. So my company likes to have the listing agreement in effect until we actually get paid. So unless you would like to pay me a contract before you get your money, then I can make it 3 months. So what would you like? Would you like to pay my fee at contract or at closing when you get your money? And they say, well, of course, when I get my money at closing. I say, all right, great, then we'll just keep it 6 months. And that was one of the objection handling techniques that I used. Which, by the way, for those of you that are Sure Results agents, meaning you've attended the 3-day training course, you have a set of CDs from me, which is the library of story, metaphors, and analogies. What I just did was one of the techniques that's on that CD. All right, now, let's go back to page in the manual, in the magazine this month on page 34.
When's the next Sure Results, Darryl?
What's that, hon?
When are you doing the next Sure Results 3-day seminar?
Where are you from? Where
New York.
Okay. The next one in New York may be, I have to decide that today, actually, maybe in New Rochelle in July, and July or August, and then Jersey and Long Island, like Suffolk County, is going to be December of this year. And then we have other locations too, like we're going to be in Baltimore, we're going to be in Florida. So
anything
if you want to, yeah,
in July, in August.
What's that?
Well, I guess I can catch you. If you're going to do New Rochelle in July, I can do that one because I'm in Queens.
Yeah, you could do that one. The best place to go is if you go to mysureresults.com.
Okay.
Right now, it's not been updated, the dates, but if you go there, you'll see whenever we have a date confirmed, it goes up on that site, mysureresults.com, okay?
Okay. All right,
all right, great. So page 34 is first-time home buyers. This is an article which is actually selling the concept of this, the first packet, the first pages that I talked about as far as a report and giving things a value. So you may want to consider in the next couple of months is running some ads or anything to attract some buyers towards you. Now, page 35, I really love. Now, this is a bit of an old article, an old ad, but I keep all my stuff in my office, so when I want to share it with you guys. And on page 35, it says Home Buyer and Seller Seminar. I think one of the best ways to generate leads quickly is holding a how-to seminar. You know, how to buy a house, how to sell a house, anything like that. And I think it's a little bit dangerous to have a seminar for both buyers and sellers. And the reason why that's dangerous is that, you know, you don't want to be in a seminar talking about how to buy a house for the least amount of money to buyers when you have sellers sitting in the room, and this vice versa. So if you're going to do a seminar that has both buyers and sellers in it, you have to make sure that your language and your conversation is not going to upset one group. The other thing is if you have guest speakers, you've got to make sure that they do the same thing. I personally would not combine the two because there's too many. The other problem, too, is separating the leads. You know, who's a buyer, who's a seller, and who's both. Some people are both buyers and sellers. So I would rather just do a seminar that focuses on one group. And in this summer months, I would put together a seminar on how to buy a house in today's market. And I would have a bunch of things that they'd walk away with. One of the things that they can walk away with is maybe, you know, a pre-qualification letter, like the first thing that we talked about, how to get pre-qualified before you buy, and how does that work? you know, get a special report on, you know, the checklist on everything you need in order when you're looking to buy a home, blah, blah, blah. So I think, and for those of you who are like, well, I'm not a speaker, hang on a second, I'm going to just mute the call. You know, what I would do is that the what I would do is have a guest speaker also, like if you got a mortgage company or a title company or an appraiser, an engineer, home inspector, you can have them at the seminar. I really think right now, this time of year, holding a seminar to attract buyers is a really good idea, and you don't have to be the speaker. You can actually have guest speakers fill in the stuff for you. So I really like the layout on page 35. It has a lot of great pieces about it. I love the little banner that it has on there. I like the font that they use for the title of the seminar. It has the agent's name, the location, the bullets. I love bullets, so that was really good. Now, on page 36 is a form that you can give out to people. It's a critique sheet of the seminar, but really what it is how to qualify your leads. You know, please check any boxes that apply. I probably will be buying a house within the next 3 months or 6 months. I have a house to sell. I would like to have a no-obligation consultation, discuss my housing needs. So this is a lead generation sheet on page 36. 37 is another sample of that based on from another agent. This one seems more like an entry, like as people come into the seminar, they would fill that out. So there's a couple of samples there. On page 38, I gave you something on how to figure out how much money you need in the next 12 months. It's a simple one-page business plan. I love it because it's so simple, and it goes through batting averages for listing appointments. You know, this would take you 15 minutes to fill this out, page 38. And I highly recommend you do. Some of you are going to get kind of upset when you figure it out because you're going to be like, damn, I need to get a lot more listings than I realized. Page 40 is a certificate for working with a baker for any of your clients, any birthdays that you want to celebrate. 41 is a great idea for promotion, for a coloring contest. I don't like how it was put together. It could be done a lot better, a lot prettier. So it's not the best layout. It's actually the top part is not the good part. The coloring piece itself with the kids and the tree and the treehouse, that's fine. It's the stuff up top. It's just not done nice. It's not pretty. Now, page 42 is an ad. This company is called the Buyer's Advantage. That's the name of the real estate company. And obviously what they do is they focus on buyers. But if you're you can pull some of this great stuff even if you're not, you know, a buyer agent only real estate company or agent. You know, you can put together, if you wanted to advertise in the paper to attract some buyers, you could advertise, hey, you're buying a home. At last, there's an agent for buyers that guarantees you savings and protects your interest. It's called the Buyer's Advantage Program. So you can actually, you know, call the Buyer's Advantage Program and share some of the things that you do for your buyers when you have a buyer agency agreement for them. You know, you get them pre-qualified, get a pre-commitment, have a free credit check done for them, part of the negotiations. Anyway, there's some really great stuff about this ad that you can pull, customize your own ad. But the one thing I got to tell you is you've got to name it. You know, whenever you name anything, it's going to attract people more. So if you say for buyers, ask me, call me about the Buyer's Advantage Program. This is a program designed for buyers who are committed to buy a house in today's market. And here's some of the things that's included in this program. And then list some bullets of things that you already do now. These are not things that you don't already do for your buyers when you have a buyer agency agreement. But you want to just package it and give it a name, and it has so much more perceived value. You know, I'm going to say something. There's so much stuff that you do when you're working with a buyer, as there is when you are a listing agent. The problem is that people don't appreciate or see the value in what we do. And the reason why they don't see the value or appreciate what we do, or what can help us in having them appreciate and see the value of what we do, is number one, naming it. You know, naming that, you know, we have the, you know, the Buyer Advantage Program, and here's what it is. And then spelling out for people what are all the things that you will do for them. Same thing with the sellers. You know, when you're talking to a seller, you say, I have what's called the Seller Success System. This is a system that's designed specifically for sellers in your situation to sell the house in today's market for the highest possible price, which is a concern for homeowners because of the number of short sales and foreclosures. So I like to share that with you. And that's basically your listing appointment. So anyway, okay, so page 43 is another good ad. Page 44 is just a great bonus to the buyers. Page 45 is really, I love this because page 45 is simply an advertisement, but it looks like perhaps it could be an article. It looks like a resume. It looks like an announcement, but it really is an ad. You know, you can actually call yourself, you know, Realtor of the Month and advertise your resume in this article. So, all right, that's it for the magazine. There's a lot of stuff there. Like every month, you can't implement everything that's in the magazines that I give you. So just pull from the, you know, some of the pages that you like. And you know what you should do is you should take these magazines and you should pull out one or two pages that you say, this is definitely what I'm going to do this month. Okay? Then take some other pages and say, these are pages that I like and that I'll do at a later date. And then take the rest of them and just throw them away. Because I know everything that I give you, not everybody's going to like everything. So some people like other things versus, you know, other people. Now, another suggestion that I have is to help you with that is actually if you created folders, you know, maybe just simply two folders. You know, one folder is, you know, immediate, here's what I'm going to implement in the next 30 days. And then you have another folder, here's things I'm going to implement in the future. And so take my magazines and tear it up into those two categories, and that's my suggestion. Now, I'm going to open up the call to anybody that has any questions that you need help with. So we've got a good amount of time now. We've got about 20 minutes, and I'd like you to really get the most out of this by you asking me something specific about something that you want to accomplish for yourself or something that you're struggling with that you want to get some one-on-one coaching. So let me open up the call. And so who has something you want to ask me?
Daryl, this is Vicki.
Okay, I'm sorry. Who's this?
Vicki.
Vicki? Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Vicki. Now, I know there was somebody else that said something, so I'll keep that in mind. Let me do Vicki first. I mean, answer Vicki. That didn't sound right. Let me answer Vicki's question first, and then I'll go to the next person. Go ahead, Vicki.
Okay. Had a thought yesterday. I was doing a webinar yesterday, and one of the things that they advertised was a 60-day money-back guarantee. And for some reason, my agent and I started laughing about that. I said, you know, we could offer a 60-day money-back guarantee on our marketing. And she goes, well, you know, we do a lot of extensive marketing, so why don't we say we have our marketing is a $1,000 package that we all ask for up front, but we're going to give you a discount of $500 up front, and we have a 60-day guarantee. If we don't sell the property in 60 days, we give you the $500 back, and we keep your property in the same marketing plan for an additional 6 months. What do you think of that idea?
Well, let's see. Let me just run through it because you threw a bunch at me, and plus your text and draw there kind of just made it even harder for me. So it's like another language for a New Yorker. You didn't have enough like does or what do you think? Well, forget about it. You know, you didn't have enough of those in that question. Now,
let
me see if I understood what you said, Vicki. What you would do is you would advertise a 60-day money-back guarantee, a guarantee to sell your house in 60 days or I'll work for free, something like that, yes?
No. The idea is that we're doing some expensive over-the-top marketing. And so we want to push our marketing package above all the other real estate stuff. The idea is to say that our marketing package is valued at $1,000. So we're giving a discount of $500.
Let me just interrupt you, Vicki. By the way, to make this even better, Vic, what's your area code? Just so I'm going to do something. Hang on. Vicki, what's your area code?
713.
713. 713.
No, just 281. No, 281.
281. Okay, hang on a second. 281. Okay, I'm gonna mute everybody. Now, Vicki, I unmuted you, I think. Can you say something?
Okay, perfect.
Okay, good. So I muted because I was having a little tough time hearing you. And if you're on a cell phone, Vicki, it makes it even harder. So don't move around, okay?
Right.
All right, now.
Right. I'm not.
I'll open the call to everybody and just answer Vicki's question. Vicki, first of all, my question to you is that you've got this marketing thing that you do that's worth $1,000. Are you advertising it, or is this something that you're saying on a listing appointment?
No, this would be for a listing appointment to start out with.
All right. So you're on the listing appointment. And,
right.
Okay, you're on the listing appointment, and you're saying to them you have this guarantee in this package. It's worth $1,000, right?
Right.
Okay, so tell me what you're going to say to them. Go ahead.
Okay, but because we have a special promotion, we're going to let you have it for $500 with a 60-day money-back guarantee. If we do not sell your house within 60 days, we write you a check back. And then we keep your property in the same marketing program for the next 6 months until we do sell it for free.
Okay, so if you don't sell it in 60 days,
right.
You're first of all, you're taking the $1,000 upfront marketing fee that you charge, and you're dropping it to $500. And then if you don't sell it in 60 days, you will cut them the $500 back to them, and you will continue to market the house for until the 6 month agreement is up at no charge. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah.
Okay. I ain't crazy about that idea for a few reasons.
Tell me.
Number one is that it sounds too slick. See, a homeowner should hire an agent based on their skill and their ability, not based on some deal that they're getting, okay?
Okay.
All right, the people that that want to invest in stocks, the part-time investor is the one that will go to E-Trade because they're getting free trading, and it's only maybe 10 bucks a fee or something like that. I don't know what it is. But somebody who wants to really grow their portfolio is really committed to that. They hire a professional. They're going to pay for that. But what they're committed to is the end result, not the cheap deal up front. Are you with me?
Gotcha.
So a homeowner should be hiring you not based on a deal you're giving them, but based on your skill and ability. That's number one. Number two is, if I'm a savvy homeowner and you said that to me, I would say, well, shit, I'm sorry, I shouldn't curse on this. Ah, man, and we're recording it. All right, shoot. If you didn't sell my house in 60 days, why the heck would I want to continue with you for another for another 6 months or 4 months? You're either doing the job or not doing the job. If you don't do the job, I don't want to stay locked in with you. I'll go find somebody else to do the job, because what I care more about is selling my house, not this $500 deal. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So I think the whole thing doesn't make any sense to me. Now, what does make sense to me is the 60-day money-back guarantee as an ad that you run in the paper that says you have the 60-day guarantee program for sellers. I also think that it's awesome to have that as part of your dialogue in an expired phone call, if you want, to offer that as something that you have. And here's how it works. The ad, see, I think it's good to get the phone to ring, but when you're belly-to-belly with the homeowner, you've got to focus on your skill and your ability, not this gimmick. So I think the upfront ad is a good idea to attract the calls. In 60 days, money-back guarantee, call for details. And then you tell the homeowner when they call, say, yes, we have a program. We guarantee to sell your house in 60 days, or we work for free. Now, there's some moving pieces to it, and there's some, there's a lot that we have to go over as far as how that works. But here, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, here's the first thing, though, if you're interested. The first thing is I need to see the house and find out what your situation is to see if the house even qualifies for the guarantee, because it doesn't qualify for everybody, okay? So so what I like to do is find the time when I can come over, see the house, and if I don't think that the guarantee could apply, I'll tell you right up front. If I do, we'll continue the conversation. I'll tell you more how it works. Then, Vicki, when you're sitting there, you say, here's how the guarantee works. that as long as you price the property at the price that I tell you, as long as you pay the commission, the full commission that we charge, and you give me the length of listing that I agree that I need, then the house qualifies. If you decide that you want to list it at a different price other than what I'm recommending, I'm not saying that it won't sell. It just means that the guarantee doesn't apply. So what you would do, Vicki, is you would price the property so it'd sell within the 60 days. And if it doesn't, you don't work for free on day 61. What happens is on day 61, you now take off, $50 off your commission, and you do that every day or every week until the property sells, until there's 0% left on the commission. And when you hit zero, then you withdraw the listing. So that's how I would set up that guarantee. Does that make sense, Vicki?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I mean, it sounds a lot better, doesn't it?
Yeah, the only reason why I was thinking about this, I was glue just kicking around yesterday, because after this webinar, of course, you watch the webinar, and then they want to sell you the program. And so I did buy the program, and it does come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, which I don't really care about, because I'm never going to send it back anyway. So I just was thinking, we could also have 60-day money-back guarantee on our listing. And then we were just kicking around ideas of how we could do it. So, because if the 60-day guarantee didn't work, you wouldn't see it everywhere, right?
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I see it from a different standpoint, from the training standpoint. So I am familiar with the 60-day guarantee. I know who sells that program. But I don't think I don't understand enough about it to opinionate about it, because I've never bought the program, never participated in it. I don't know any agent that has, and I've trained a lot. So,
I see it, but you see it in a lot of different marketing programs, not just with this webinar, but with a lot of different marketing programs. It's a marketing tool to say you get a guarantee your money back if you don't like it. You see it.
Oh, you mean in other things other than real estate?
Yes.
Oh, yes. You're absolutely
right.
You're absolutely right. Listen, in my 3-day training, Sure Results, I have a money back guarantee. That if you're not happy, you get your money back. But there is a stipulation. It just says there's a stipulation for you. The stipulation is that you have to come to all classes. You've got to be in the room the whole time, and you have to do homework assignments, and you've got to call FSBOs. Now, if you don't do those things, well, you can't ask for your money back because you didn't do the course. But if you did do those things and it still wasn't valuable, well, hot diggity dang, I don't deserve to get paid. So the same thing is true on the listing thing is that, I can guarantee that it'll sell in 60 days, but, you've got to list it at what I tell you.
Yeah.
So if I tell you the house is worth $199 because that's what will help sell it in 60 days, you go, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I want to sell it for $225. Okay, fine, we can do that. I just can't guarantee it's going to sell in 60 days. So therefore, the guarantee does not apply to you, but you can still take the listing, Vicki.
Okay.
Okay?
Perfect.
Okay. That whole 60-day guarantee thing, to me, for you, not the guarantees that I do or other companies do, but the one for real estate agents, 60-day money back or 90 days, and it's not money back. It's, 60 days, I guarantee to sell your house, all right? There's no money. You don't say money back. 60 days, I guarantee to sell your house, or I'll work for free, asterisk, in the ad, and then it says call for details. Mm-hmm. To me, that whole program is really about making the phone ring. I don't know any agent that has listened to me that had to give any money back because you priced it in such a way that it will sell in 60 days, therefore you're not working for free. Okay, so that's the key. You've got to make sure you tell the homeowner this is the price it needs to list at. Okay?
Right.
All right, good. Any other questions?
A question, Keisha. I wanted to know, I got a ton of buyer leads. Now, the first step, should I be getting them, before I show them a house, should I be meeting with them at like a mutual location rather than running them all the way out to Long Island to my office? Like, how do I get them and then also get them to sign the buyer agency where I'm charging them a commission? Like, what advice do you give with that?
Okay. So, great question. And this is actually what I wanted to talk about. So let me give you all a few ideas as far as the buyers are concerned. And the number, okay, Keisha, I'm going to finish with your question, and let me just throw out some other things though that don't apply to your question. If you guys are going to focus on buyers in the next 30, 60 days, here's a couple of things I think you need to do as part of your plan in the next, between now and when I talk to you guys next call. First of all, you may want to consider running one of the ads or doing a buyer seminar. Second thing is you should be really bulking up your open houses. Third thing is you should have bounce houses, meaning that when you have an open house at a location where you know you're going to generate a lot of buyers to that location, you should have a bounce house, a backup house. If a hot buyer should walk into the open house that on the number one that you're doing, that you or your partner if, for that house that you partnered up with, because you should partner up with somebody, if you know there's going to be a lot of traffic to that particular house, one of you would then take that hot A buyer and go bring them to the bounce house that's similar in price or style to sell them one of the houses, okay? You should work the shiny penny list, which I'm going to talk about again. A lot of you should know it, but it's very important to go over it again. The other thing, which is a lot of work, and it's really hard to teach this over the phone. This is definitely better in the three-day program because I can show it. But my company, we were really great at our open houses, attracting a tremendous amount of buyers, because what we did is we took that poster board. It's like construction paper board, whatever you buy at a stationery store. You know, and it's the size of a flip chart pad. And we used to have those pre-printed on a pretty thick stock, and it said open house. Name of the company, and then we would staple on the address and these fluorescent arrows. The fluorescent arrows were made of, you know, you cut them by hand out of construction paper, and we would staple that on these signs. These signs would then be hung on either telephone poles, metal or wood. The metal ones are harder because obviously you can't use a staple on the metal, so you have to do like one of those things that you use to keep your cords together. It's plastic. It's a zip tie, okay? And or telephone poles, and we would staple. Now, people always tell me, Daryl, you know, in Texas, you know, or wherever, they say we're not allowed to, you know, put things on the telephone poles or definitely not on the trees and da-da-da. And I always say to them, have you ever seen a garage sale sign on those poles or things that you said that you can't put? And they would say, yes. Well, then there you go. You're probably not supposed to, but, you know, people let you do it. And plus, you're only going to do it for 2 hours because that's how long you're public open houses should be. They really shouldn't be any longer than 2 hours. But here's how we did it. The company policy for us was that you had to put a minimum of 10 of these signs out on the street. And what we would do is wherever the open house is being held, we would actually take these 10 minimum signs and put them out, and we put them not at eye level, because when you're driving a car and you're 50 yards down the road, then eye level is actually too low. So what you actually want to do is take the sign above your head and staple it on that pole or tie it to that pole, and the fluorescent arrow tells people to continue driving straight or to make a left or a right at the next block. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. We've done experiments where we ran open houses with no advertising whatsoever and just used the signs to see what our turnout was. And I swear to you, we would still have 30 people come to our public open houses. And so we knew it was because of those signs. Now, we did that for about a month, and we had to go back to advertising because the homeowners were complaining that we weren't running the ads, and they didn't understand that it had nothing to do with the ads. It was the magic of the signs. So we had to do that just to placate to the client. But I'm going to tell you something. That's how you get a boatload of people to your open houses is these signs. Most agents don't do it because it's a lot of work. You have to have them printed. You have to have them made. I mean, you can do them by hand, but they're not as professional. Plus you got to go out. If your open house is at 12, you got to start putting these signs up like at 11:20. And so now you're adding more time. Plus you're out on the street and you're deposed. It's a lot of work, but I will tell you, you get what you pay for. Little work, little results, a lot of work, a lot of results. Now, let's go with Keisha's question about how to work with the buyers. And Keisha, have you taken the three-day sure results with me?
No, remember, I want to catch a new Rochelle when you do it.
Yeah, all right, because, hon, this question you're asking me is about a 45-minute answer, and in that class, you really are going to – that's awesome. You're going to definitely get this answer, this question answered a lot better, so I'm going to do my best in the short time that we have. Is you should have just like you have a listing appointment for sellers, you should have one for buyers, and what you should do is you should meet with the buyers in your office. And you go through first your credibility. So the first time you meet a buyer is you want to go through your credibility so they know who you are. And you should let them feel comfortable with your company, just like you would do on a listing appointment. Once you've done that, then you can explain agency, whether they will work with you as a buyer's agents or not. And so then you have that conversation. Then the next conversation is you'll start asking them questions about what it is that they're trying to look for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the real magic here in how you really can sell more houses is you want to take you want to just show the buyers the best houses in the price range, and I call that the shiny penny.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the concept of shiny penny. If a buyer says they want to buy a house for $300,000, you might show them $300,000 to $350,000. Now, in that price category, let's say in your market there's 30 homes for sale. Of those 30, there's going to be a handful, maybe 5 to 7, that are better than all the others. That's the shiny penny. What you do know about buyers is they say they want this, 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 and they wind up buying that, something totally different, and then we get aggravated with buyers. The reason why that is because the buyer bought the shiny penny. So the shiny penny has nothing to do with style. There's one definition for shiny penny. It's more bang for the buck, period, in the price range. Nothing to do with style, nothing to do with Barron's Bath. It's the next hot house to sell. Keisha, this is the one that you go to a broker's open house and you go, ooh, geez, this house is hot. This is nice. I can't believe it's priced like that. Bah, 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 bah. And then you run back to your office and you call buyers to come out and see that one house. That's the shiny penny, and that's how you should sell houses. So instead of taking buyers and showing them house after house, weekend after weekend, what you should be just doing is showing the shiny pennies to every buyer in the price range that meets that criteria, that price range for that shiny penny. Now, let's go back to the first time you meet the buyer. So you sit down with them, you do the buyer presentation of who you are, your credibility, your company's credibility. Here's how I work. You tell them, this is what I'm going to do. Here's how I work. Then the last piece, Keisha, and this is the real big piece, is that you're going to have them select the houses that you want to show. Now, what you want them to select is the shiny pennies. So let's say you've got those 30 homes, and let's say you've got 5 shiny pennies out of the 30 that's in their price range. You've already pre-set up your appointments with those 5 shiny pennies. But what you want to do, Keisha, is that you want them to pick those 5 because you've already set the appointments and they're the shiny penny. Are you following me so far on this?
I am. Mm-hmm.
All right. So the trick here with the buyers is not having them pick those 5 because if you let the buyers pick, they pick all 30. So the trick is when you're sitting with them, and I don't mean trick like manipulative, but like a magic trick. What you want to do is you want to have them not pick the other 25 non-shiny pennies. So when you're showing them the report on this listing, you want to find something about the listing that doesn't work. You know, at this house, it really, you know, there's a smell. I don't know what it is. It really, I wouldn't even show it to my mother. Okay, great. The next, so you tear it up. And then this one here, the closets are really small. I don't think this is going to work for us because you got the kids, and I think, do you want small closets or would you prefer a big one? Oh, no, we prefer a big. Okay. And then you tear that one up. So you keep tearing up the non-shiny pennies, and then when you get to the shiny penny, you say, this house, I think we should see it. What do you think? They say, sure, that looks good. And then you put it to the side. Keisha, here's the awesome part about this. Out of the 30 houses that you just went through this process with, they only have 5 left. So what happens is because there's only 5 left, they get in your car, Keisha, with a commitment to pick one of the 5 because that's all that's left. And so students have told me is this process, and again, I'm trying to take a 45-minute class and put it into like 5 minutes for you, but what students have told me is that they more than dramatically increase their sales doing what I just told you to do a lot quicker with buyers than you chauffeuring them from house to house to house to house, which is what a lot of agents do, which really aggravates me when they do that. Does that make sense?
Okay, okay.
All right.
So now let me just ask you. My office is all the way in Long Island. If I'm working with a buyer in Queens, do you recommend maybe me meeting at like a local Dunkin' Donuts or a Starbucks?
Yeah. Here's the last thing I'm going to say, and then we're going to end the call because we've reached our time.
Okay.
Is that Keisha? There's two things. Number one is you have to decide what market you're working. And just because your license, and I'm not saying you do this, but this is for everybody, Keisha, that I'm saying this. Just because your license is state of New York, you know, you can show property up in Albany, but you shouldn't. So, you know, you have to decide, like, I don't know how far Queens and Long Island City is, like, even though I'm a New Yorker, I don't know how far that is. But that may be out of your market area. So you have to decide what's the market I'm working. You know, and for you know, Queens or for Long Island, I would say that, you know, there's enough business probably in a 15-minute drive radius from where your office is. Anything outside of that, I think you should refer to another agent. Now, in the case where your office and where you live is different, I've seen many of agents, what they've done is they've met their buyers because where they live is so far from their marketplace or their office is so far from their marketplace, you can create your own satellite office, if you will, at a diner or something. And that's what I would do. If that's the question you're asking me, that's what I would do is that, yeah, it's totally okay to come up with a location that's neutral. And if you, I would pick it and always use it because then eventually you'll know the manager, the owner, the waiters, and then you'll become a big shot. And that'll be a good thing. Okay. So, all right, gang. So I gave you, I hope this call was useful. There's a lot of stuff that we covered. There's a lot in the magazine. There's a lot of things you can do. But just do one or two things every month. If you implement just one or two things that's different than what you're doing, then that different thing may generate different results, and different results may equal more money. So don't try and do it all, just one or two different things. All right, thanks for calling in. I know I appreciate who you are. I appreciate your commitment to the industry. Don't forget, we don't just help people buy and sell real estate. We actually help them get to their next level, and the more people we help, the more money we make. Keep smiling, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.